Good evening. I'm going to talk this evening about how equanimity manifests in life, how we can recognize when it's there, when it's missing. I'll include some of the images used to describe equanimity and talk about some of the experiences I've had where equanimity has been present. One way of understanding equanimity is to think of it as there in the middle. Middle of what? Middle of life. Middle of whatever is happening right now. Thoughts, body sensations, emotions, interactions with others. You name it. Standing in the middle. With unshakable poise. Resilient. Unwavering. Not pushing away what's painful. Not holding on to what's beautiful. And as Steve mentioned, equanimity is not indifference or hiding away. Those are the near enemy of equanimity. So what does it feel like to be in the middle? You feel like you're not here, you're not there. It might feel like a sense of instability or uncertainty. But in the Dharma, middleness is not unstable. It's solid, stable, composed, skillful, wise. Remember that Buddhism is often called the middle way. So it's the middle regarding outer conditions, not getting knocked off balance from whatever is happening. And it's the middle of the inner conditions, the middleness of the heart, open to all that life is presenting, the 10,000 joys and the 10,000 sorrows. Equanimity is often referred to as a protector of heart and mind. Anything can happen at any time, and can I be okay with that? Do I believe that I'll be okay with that? There are a number of different images that are used to describe equanimity, and I think having an image that you kind of keep in your mind can be really helpful. The image that is most often used for equanimity is like a mountain. The sun shines on it, the rain falls, it gets covered with snow, it's struck by lightning, birds and animals defecate on it, hikers stomp on it, nature erodes it. And what does the mountain do? It remains unwavering. It's solid, but not rigid. For me, the mountain is not such a great image. I prefer one that's more like when I was watching Simone Biles, the amazing American gymnast, be on the balance beam. I was thinking that the balance beam is like that place of middleness, and every move, jump, and flip are all of what happens to us in life. It's similar to the mountain, but smaller, and we can land on the balance beam, wiggle quite a bit, but we can be okay with all the flips of life. When I shared that image of the balance beam with a group of Dharma friends recently, one friend said to me that the image she likes for equanimity is a log that keeps rolling around in a marshy, swampy area. She's on the log trying to keep her balance, and then she falls off. Hopefully there are no big bad critters in the marsh. And it's the wisdom factor, her insight practice, that gets her to swim back to the log. There's also an image from one of our wonderful teachers in this tradition, Kamala Masters. Some years ago, she was on the Ganges River in India at sunrise. And she was in the middle of the river, and on one side was this gorgeous sunrise, and on the other were funeral pyres called funeral bots, where the recently dead are burned. This is the place we live in between the birth of sunrise and the death of all of us. And my personal favorite image is the necklace that I wear around my neck, the lotus in the muddy water. The lotus is thriving in the midst of the muck. We also can thrive in the midst of the muck of life. So whatever image works for you, it can be helpful to keep in mind the elements of these images for helping you to recognize when equanimity is present. It could be a place that is solid, unwavering like a mountain, a place to land like the balance beam, a place to come back to or swim back to like the rolling log, a place to see all directions, to see beginnings and endings like being on the Ganges River, or a place to thrive, no matter how mucky the conditions. Equanimity sometimes can be hard to recognize. It's easier to notice when you are not there, that kind of inner confusion, the lack of stability, feeling pushed around by life. As we all know, we can be thrown off balance. It happens. Life can be really challenging. The three heavenly messengers of aging, illness, and death remind us of that. The natural unfolding of life is like a roller coaster. It's not that something is wrong if life is tumultuous. Equanimity is a state of the inner life. It's not static. Sometimes we can confuse equanimity with just being in a pleasant state. It's not this, oh, everything's cool, no problem, just kind of lolling in the glow of pleasant. With equanimity, things may be pleasant or unpleasant or neither. And remember, equanimity is not indifference or hiding away from the pain of the moment. Equanimity is about how we are internally, no matter what else is happening. I'd like to share some experiences from my own life of how I have found equanimity. As many of you know, my life partner of 35 years died suddenly a couple years ago. So some months ago, I decided to start being on the dating sites. I thought, oh, I know what this is all about, because 38 years ago, I answered my partner Bill's ad in the Seattle Weekly, and then we were together for all those years. So I recently responded to an ad. The man had put up a picture of himself in a yoga pose, Warrior II. And I thought, well, this is great, somebody who's into yoga. I also liked a couple other things that he said. So we got together for coffee. And then he came to an open house I had at my property. And a few days after that, I reached out to him and said, I thought we had some things in common. Would you like to have a second date? He wrote back, no, I don't think so. There's no spark. Oh, wow. My first response was, no spark. I don't have any spark. What's wrong with me? Then my second response was, hey, you, what's wrong with you that you didn't see the sparkle in me? But fortunately, my insight practice led me to understand that really it wasn't about me. It was just about someone who's looking for something and he thinks he knows what it is, and I wasn't it. It wasn't so important. I didn't need to make a big story about it. It was, in fact, not about me. And just as Steve was talking about anatta and non-self and how important that is, one of the three characteristics, it's really important in allowing equanimity to arise. Another example, a few months after Bill died, I was pretty deeply in grief. And I learned that grief kind of has a power of its own. And I just felt kind of pulled and tossed around by it. And I live really close to the ship canal. So it was a very nice, sunny, crisp, late fall day, and I walked along the canal. The water was really beautiful. It was pretty flat. There were cormorants and buffleheads and a few boaters and some other people along the walkway. And as I sat next to the canal on a bench, I looked out and I realized, I asked myself, is there anything missing in this moment? And the answer was no. So there's another aspect of equanimity, in addition to it not being about me, is that We're in a both and place, not an either or. It's not that it has to be either wonderful or terrible, but sometimes it can be both and. And in that middle place of holding both, equanimity can arise. I've had the privilege, along with a couple others from Seattle Insight, to be sitting with this wonderful man who is at the end of his life. We go and sit with him every Wednesday morning. One day we came to visit him, and he started talking and was telling us that he was in quite a bit of pain. He has end-stage bone cancer. And he was sharing that he's been in a lot of pain, and yet when he woke up that day, he said to himself, "This is a good day." He knew that we were coming, and he was looking forward to that. He was able to do some writing on his laptop computer. So again, that experience of both and, not either or. Knowing that nothing is really missing from the moments that we are present in. I live and work in commercial property, and I was having a very difficult set of conversations with a tenant looking at her lease and making some fairly significant changes to her new lease. We had a meeting, and I felt really gritty, and I was thinking that she and her new wife were being kind of unreasonable, and I had shared with her many months ago the changes that I want to make, and she didn't really do any thinking about it. She waited until the time of our meeting. So it was a pretty difficult, tense kind of meeting, and we agreed that we would take a few days and then meet together again. And when the meeting was over, I gave it some thought and realized that everyone is just trying to have a good life. Everyone is just trying to make their way through the ups and downs. In addition to that, being the landlord in this situation, I realized that I had pretty much all the power. I was setting the terms, and if she didn't like it, her only real option was to move out, and I knew that she didn't want to do that. A great deal of compassion and friendliness arose in me, the first two of the Brahma Viharas, and I realized that I could go back into these meetings with her and her wife and come from a friendlier, more compassionate place. The content didn't change very much, but certainly the tone did, and I felt that we were meeting in this kind of place of equanimity. The last example, again, goes back to this lovely man, Forrest, who is at the end of his life. When I was sitting with him Wednesday morning, he had had a huge pain episode and as a result was given a lot of pain meds, and he was pretty much out of it. He was trying to engage, trying to communicate, but he was just in this fog. What I realized is that sometimes equanimity is really nowhere to be found. Either the circumstances are so rough, or we're just so confused and stirred up and maybe in a fog, that all we can really come to is these words, "this too." Just saying "this too" and breathe. Sometimes that's the closest we'll get to equanimity. So in closing, I want to just remind us that the question of how we maintain the unshakable balance of mind-heart is through the continuity of practice, the continuity of mindfulness. Through that continuity, we stay connected to what is actually happening right here and now. We use our wisdom to see the truth of things. We use our soft, kind, gentle hearts to hold these truths. And voila, sometimes there's balance. We've landed on the balance beam. We might be wiggling, but we're upright. We're thriving in the midst of the muck. And each time we come back to that place of balance, we build confidence and faith that this is possible. Thank you so much for your attention.